The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
She didn't have to apologize for disagreeing with me. You ever notice people apologize when they didn't do anything wrong? If you're at a grocery, well, back in the old days when you were in a grocery store and you could get close to people, and you accidentally just sort of, oh, maybe you grab something that they were thinking about or looking at, or just some minor little social interaction. Oh, I'm sorry. Tell you what, you got to apologize for the big stuff. I've been noticing that. We're much quicker to apologize for little stuff that's meaningless than we are the big stuff. That's a monologue for another day. Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program is a call-in program. You are the callers. I am the callee, the recipient of your call. Not the first recipient, because the first person you're going to get to is Eric Dumont or Andrew Krucek. They will take care of this over at Ave Maria Radio Studios as we cooperate with the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Some 400, it's got to be over 400 stations now, unless I've kind of driven some of them off the air. They haven't told me that yet. Oh, 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. That's the number to call to get onto the program. If you have a question, a circumstance, situation, something about your life, or sometimes somebody else's life, maybe you just want to hear a voice, another word, something to help you out a little bit. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do for a professional living, so I don't diagnose here, and I'm certainly not going to step into the turf of any professional that you are already seeing. Can't do that. But we can talk a little bit. See if we can give you some pointers in some direction. Anyway, 877-573-7825. I guess it was the way I was raised. I don't think it has anything to do with any kind of psychological training, because I don't even recall anything related to this much when I was going to school. There is something in my spine, I don't know, a nerve, something, that just shoots up when I see a kid being disdainful of parents. I came home one day, this was years back. My wife was in the driveway. Well, she was saying something that most husbands wouldn't pick up on, because I'm highly trained in communications, especially with the opposite sex. I picked up on it. I'm sensitive to these things. Ladies, don't be mad at your husbands if they don't get this, because they're not trained like I am. But I noticed little subtle cues that she was a bit distressed, because she was walking down the driveway. I do not like them where I am. I do not like them in my hair. I do not like them anywhere. Now, I picked up on this. Honey, are you upset? She said, it's Sarah. I breathed a sigh of relief, because I was worried that I might have done something wrong while I was gone. About that time, Sarah comes walking down the driveway. What do you need me to do now, Mom? And my wife gave Sari a few more chores. And I said, what happened? I gave Sarah an hour's worth of labor. Labor is a consequence. You have an hour's worth of labor. It's a dual purpose consequence, I think. I highly advise you moms to use it. I said, what did she do to get an hour's worth of labor? My wife said, she rolled her eyes at me. Now, I know what many of you are thinking. Hours worth of labor? My kids would be working all day long. And that's just my point. We have slipped into allowing, well, all sorts of disrespect from our kids. Tone of voice disrespect, snottiness. Yeah, right, Mom. For sure. Well, that's what you think. And those are the words. But what about the looks? What about the huffy sighs? What about the rolling of the eyes? Why have we, I think, as a culture-wide parental group, come to accept all this? Why? What has happened? I would never have rolled my eyes at my mother. Rolling eyes is a nasty thing. Try doing it to an adult sometime. Go ahead, roll your eyes. What about adults doing it to you? Would you like that? Would you say, gee, I sure feel warm about them. There's no masks in our relationship. They are just so open with their disdain for me. You wouldn't like it, would you? Probably, if it continued, you'd find yourself avoiding them. To the degree you could. Maybe it's a relative, but if it's somebody, you could. Why? Well, because they're signaling to you that if you say something or you do something that they don't approve of, they're going to roll their eyes. Rolling eyes is really mean. But yet, we allow our children to do it. The people we are responsible for teaching respect to, their first element of respect is toward us. You've seen the riots tearing apart cities all over the country. What amount of people doing some of the destruction are young adults? Well, do you think, now I'm going to just guess a little bit. I cannot draw a heavy correlation here. But my guess would be some of these kids didn't respect anybody when they were growing up. And they ain't respecting anybody or anything now. It's altered radically in the last 50, 60 years. My suggestion to you parents, you might want to warn your kids first. You might want to say, hey, guys, disrespect, not at all. If you do, you don't want to be like Sarah. Hours worth of labor. I think sometimes it's related to the battered parent syndrome. We get so used to it. It's almost like breathing, you know, in the words of My Fair Lady. I've grown accustomed to her face, like breathing out and breathing in. Well, maybe you've grown accustomed to your kid's face or faces. Think about it. Ponder it. It's easy to just let the small stuff, as we label it, go. The dirty looks, the huffy sighs, the mumble grumble, the sarcasm, the nasty tone. Let that one go because they're not throwing bricks at you, you know. And by the way, they're good kids otherwise. You know that they get good grades and everybody likes them. And you get compliments on them all the time. You're the one they reserve that for. Are you kidding me? Your mom, your dad. You do more for them than everybody else put together in the whole world. You don't deserve that. And it's good to teach them so that it isn't at all a thinking part of their options of responses. 877-573-7825. Some tricky ones up there.
You're not fit yet.
Not fit? I'm the doctor.
No, doctor. I'm the doctor, and I say that you're not fit.
You may be a doctor, but I'm the doctor.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Garetti here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. It's not as scary as I thought it was. It's a much more warm and open place, and God really is about love. It's not about the rules and the things that I remember as a young child. It really is about the love that God has for each one of us that's so deep and wonderful.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
I just wanted to keep listening to that, you know? Just wanted to keep listening to that. We had a question up there was, if we know suffering is the road to heaven and grace is given to the suffering, what is there to look forward to on this earth? Now, that's a good question. I was looking forward to answering that on this earth, but Jonathan left, called. And when that happens, when somebody calls and within 2 minutes they drop, they either have a second thought about going on the air and having all 170 of my listeners listen to them, or they drop out of cell phone range. Most calls come in from cell phones. Or they got to where they were gone and they miscalculated. It only took them 4 minutes and they figure, look, I got to go in there and get what I'm going to get so I can't hang around on the phone with this guy. All right. Connie from St. Louis. Connie, you're going to have to refresh my memory on this one because I don't remember what monologue that was.
Okay, I have you on speaker. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. A young man called in, and he was having thoughts about if he should do this or do that, and it was his decision from God that he would tell
yesterday.
Him which way to go. Remember?
Yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. Uh-huh. Young 19-year-old guy, yeah.
I'm concerned about, you said, what I got out of it was that God really shouldn't come into the picture unless it's morally, something morally. Is that correct? You know, instead of, like, I'm concerned about if I pray, you know, for poor souls in purgatory, that's fine. But then what about if I pray for someone in my family's health or for them to, you know, if it's not connected to the church and morally, I'm confused on that.
Okay. I'll straighten that out, Connie. The young man asked, how did he know he was hearing God's direction when he had to make a life decision? And I said, well, one, it's certainly not God's direction if what you're sensing God is telling you is different from his morals that he's given us. Okay, that's the first thing. That's easy enough. Well, not so much unless you don't know the morals. Secondly, I said, all too often, we look to God to say, well, should I take this job? Should I not take that job?
Mm-hmm.
Should I buy this? Should I not buy that? Do you want me to buy a used car? Do you want me to buy a new car? And I said, I'm reluctant to do that kind of thing. That being personally, I am. And I said to him, I said, God gives us a brain and a judgment. And we ask him for our help in making good, for his help in making good decisions. But in terms of whether he's actually pulling the strings, you know, kind of like a puppet master, Well, let's see. I want Ray to take this job, but not that job. I said, I don't know. And I don't know how important that is. Because if I choose one job, I'm going to find out. I'm going to say, Lord, be with me on this one. And if I made a bad move, please somehow help me realize it. That was kind of the intent of what I was telling. I think his name was Joseph. It's not that you don't pray about a lot of stuff. You know, you can pray anytime about anything that involves a decision. You can, dear Lord, you know, help me to make a good decision regarding, do I sell my house and move into an apartment so I don't have as much to take care of? You know, help me make a good decision on this, Lord. And then you make the decision and you don't think, well, God told me. Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But I think his vision is so much broader than ours. It's like my wife always says, we make a decision and then God goes with us on that decision, helping us either to do well at it or to get out of it. You know, I've had many friends who were absolutely convinced that God told them to do something and they did it and it blew up in their face. And I stopped doing this, but I asked at one point, I said, how do you think it was still God? And they got very defensive. They said, yes, yes, it was. I just didn't hear it right. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So then we do ask, it's okay to ask God to make a decision, but we don't give a choice as of this house or that house. Is that it?
Well, I wouldn't say it's okay, because who am I to say it's okay? I'm just offering you a thought, which is, I think, be careful about getting caught up in this idea that God is going to tell me every step of the way which way to go. He's given us general principles. He's told us how to act morally and responsibly.
Okay, what about this, doctor? If I told my daughter, she's questioning whether to get an operation, and I told her, pray to God about it if you're not sure.
Sure.
And then I thought, well, that's a decision she's making.
Sure. And here's I think, where you can get tripped up.
Uh-huh.
If you say, okay, pray to God about this, and she comes back and she says, I prayed about it, and God has laid it upon my heart that I should have the operation.
Oh.
And then she has the operation, and it goes bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did God trick her? Or is God saying, that's okay, because I'll pull more good out of this operation than you think? Or was it that she was mistaken, that God didn't actually weigh in? You know, that's what I'm saying. We don't sometimes know. And I think we have to act in faith. Say, dear Lord, I don't know if I should get this operation or not.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of let me know if you can. Don't let me mishear it. And then if you don't really care either way, Lord, then just be with me and help me to have the strength to go through it well. Bless
okay.
you, dear. Those are good questions, Connie. Those are really good questions. And you forced me. You forced me to think a little bit more about it. Thank you.
Well, it's a little difficult.
Oh, you know, our Lord doesn't want us to say, okay, Connie, you follow the formula and you'll get to heaven, you know. He's not like that. It's like C.S. Lewis says, God wants people of a certain sort, which means people who seek him and people who can sometimes say, I don't know. I don't know if God wanted me to live there or didn't live there. I don't know. I'll find out. Bless your heart, dear.
Okay, well,
thank you
I do appreciate it. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much.
All righty. Thanks. See ya. Okay. Jen from Walton, Kentucky. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
You got one leaving.
Thank you for I have four children, ages 14 to 25, and my third child we just dropped her off at college last week.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, I've listened to you since my oldest was pretty young. I heard you speak in some.
That wasn't me, Jen. You're thinking
no,
of my
I
dad. You've got to be thinking
and,
of my dad.
I'm sure I am.
Okay.
But my older two kids actually would even apologize to their friends when they heard me telling their moms about you. They would even say, I am so sorry, because they would write papers and they would, you know, when they talked back and when they did things, they had to write papers, they had to, you know, do chores, they had to lose privileges. And for the most part, you know, the first one was first daughter. You know, she pretty much caught on real quick that when she wanted to get mad at me, she'd go upstairs and do it in her pillow. And then my next daughter took a little longer, you know, and her sister even said, when are you going to learn to go upstairs and yell in your pillow instead?
But the third one, the third one never got it. The third one never got it.
Never got it. From the very early age, I was pretty cocky about, right, you know, I could write the parenting books and I had to burn them.
You're tough. And you're tough. And then she came along.
Yes. In the last 4 years, especially, there's been extenuating circumstances, which I'm not going to get into. But her disdain and disrespect was constant. Anything I said, and you know, and I would, you know, push back.
Jen, let me jump in here, dear, because I don't want you to get cut off by the break. So at this point, this very disrespectful daughter is heading for college, which I assume you're paying for. By the way, is that true?
She's got scholarships. We don't pay for college. We pay.
Okay,
for
you're not paying for any of it. Are you paying for her phone? Are you paying for her car? Are you paying for her insurance?
Yeah, I am paying for her phone and insurance.
Okay.
And I've tried that, and she's even done stuff knowing that she would lose that. She's even turned around and said things knowing very well.
Are you asking me what to do about her disrespect now that she's over 18 in a way?
What I'm asking, I have another child, but I felt like with this one, I'd lose my temper. She'd push my buttons. I'd you know, say things I shouldn't have. And I just never handled it well because she just never responded to anything. She knew she'd have consequences and didn't care. And she talks to her family and her, you know, her parents.
Okay, my dear, I'm going to have to hurry along again because you're going to lose your time.
Okay, anyways, how should I have explained it better so that it doesn't happen again with my next one? And also, I'd love to have her listen to this to understand why I was.
You don't have to explain it. You can say your sister brought down on herself a lot of discipline. I don't want to do that with you, but I will. But you're different in that way. So hopefully I won't have to. But you have to understand that, you know, she made me very sensitive to disrespect. And I'm not going to let that happen again. That's all. I've just been very, very clear. But here's the thing. No matter what you say, Jen, if it's meaningless unless you actually do something about it if and when it happens. Can you imagine how difficult she'd be if you didn't discipline? Can you imagine what she'd be like? That's right. When parents
and
say
everybody
that.
Everybody outside the home say she's great.
Oh, she's wonderful. She's a sweetheart of a kid.
Everybody loves her. And I'm happy about that, but I always quoted your, you know, I think it was you that said God gave us 1/10 of the commandments. Mm-hmm.
Teresa Tomeo. If she says wise things like that, it's because she was listening to my show. She has somebody. She hired somebody to listen to my show and steal remarks from me, and then she says them and takes credit for them. That happens all the time.
Okay.
I thought about suing her, but I'm just going to let it go. She doesn't have many assets anyway. You know, she drives a 1982 Dodge Aries K. So, but the key is this. Don't ever think... Well, you can think it if you want, but don't worry that your fourth child is going to say, well, child number three got away with A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. I might as well do that myself. One, she may not be the same temperament. She may just not be as pushy. Two, he could look at his sister and say, boy, she's dumb. She got nothing but discipline and she still couldn't shut her mouth. He may do that. Or three, he may try it. Okay. He'll see that his mom is still the same mom. She wasn't beaten down by the relentless difficulty of the child. But I'll leave you with this. She's at college. But remember, Jen, you still got a lot of purse strings. And when she comes home on vacation and she's snotty and nasty, just because she's 18 or 19, you don't have to go, well, I guess she's old enough to be really nasty. You don't have to do that, my dear. Thanks, Jen. 877-573-7825 if you would like to get in the, is it Q or Quay? Q, right? I'm Dr. Ray.
Call call to communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
How can we be sure our conscience is guiding us rightly? The Catholic Catechism states that in order to make correct moral judgments, we must have a well-formed conscience, one that is upright, truthful, and formulates its judgments according to reason and conforms them to the true good willed by the wisdom of the Creator. In order to avoid the trap of negative influences and the desire to prefer our own judgments, we must educate our conscience. The Catechism asserts that prudent education teaches virtue and guarantees freedom and engenders peace of heart. What are the ingredients of this educational stew? The Word of God, which we absorb through faith and prayer and an examination of conscience before the Lord's cross. Though our modern world sometimes makes discernment difficult, a well-formed conscience helps us see what is right and choose what is the will of God as expressed in divine law. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I wrote a new book called Wheat and Tares as a way to approach the sexual abuse crisis by clergy in the Catholic Church. I hope that this book would be something that came out of my prayer for a lot of months and would be able to help inform your prayer.
Wheat and Tares, Restoring the Moral Vision of a Scandalized Church by Father Mitch Pacwa. Now available at EWTNRC.com.
Good Lord permitting. I had a little problem with this. I was talking to Raymond Arroyo. Raymond's a nice friend of mine. And I'm going to do a segment with him tonight on The World Over. And he said something to the effect that if we see that our numbers dropping precipitously while you're talking, Ray, we're going to take you off. I said, that's okay. I'll take my chances. I think Raymond has, he's got a lot of, like a million viewers. And Which is a little more than my 170, but I hope I don't ding up his viewership. Anonymous caller from an anonymous place. She and her husband feel, this interesting perception. I'll let you explain it, Anonymous. Thanks for the call.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Ray.
Sure.
My husband and I are suspecting a family member maybe grooming my 4-year-old daughter. And my family, he's my brother, and he is in the military, and every time he comes home from leave, he makes a point to isolate my daughter, to take her away from the family, to hide to where we can't find her. And it could be for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, but he almost always takes her outside and almost always just separates her from the group. And
how many times have you allowed this to happen?
I would say in the last 2 years, our awareness has been heightened, and so we've been trying to be very vigilant. But it happens every time, so I would say probably about 6.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and the most recent one was yesterday. And so my husband and I, we in the past several years that we've noticed this, we asked my parents, we confided in only them, and I'm in a very close family, very big family, and so we only confided in my parents and asked for their support in keeping an eye on her. But it just continues to happen when we're with family. And so we decided that we no longer want to have her around him at all, and we don't feel like the risk is worth it.
Okay.
And we're afraid that this is one of those things where if there's ever any evidence that we are right, it's too late. And so we've come to this decision that we no longer want her to be around him.
Okay.
But we don't know what to do now. We don't know how to communicate this to our family, who, like I said, is very close.
One thing you could do is you could never let her go anywhere with him without you.
Well, that's what we do. That's exactly what we do. We've never let him alone, but okay. He always finds a time to be alone.
You gotta, then whenever he's around, you have to keep an absolute exquisite eye upon your daughter.
And yet we never seem to. I have other kids, and we never seem to be able to do that completely because we always find her alone with him. Completely alone. And he has we have a bunch of little kids. She's the only girl. She's the oldest. And there are 5 or 6 little boys, my nephews and my own boys. And yet it's only her. And
okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around this, Mom. If you're saying I don't want her around him, then we're going to have to be hypervigilant. And if you're saying we're not hypervigilant enough, he gets her alone. Then you could say to him, I don't want you alone with her at all. And if he may or may not listen to you, I don't know. And I don't know what's going on, but I think trust your instincts. So at this point, you probably are going to have to totally ratchet it up. Either you keep an eye on her for a couple hours, then husband keeps an eye on her for a couple hours, then grandma keeps an eye on her for a couple hours. There's just no way this is going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And if that means you keep her standing right next to you, and if your brother pushes on this, just look at him and say, no, she's not going to be alone with anybody. We're getting too nervous about her being alone with people. We've had some bad experiences. And then he'll really get mad. But I think that's really what it's going to come down to. Unless you want to confront him, you know, you can say, hey, I don't like you being alone with her. At which point...
I didn't know if there's a point with confronting him, if there's a point where maybe the retaliation and manipulation and...
I think what'll happen is you'll lose any relationship with your brother.
Yeah.
I think
of course I don't want that. And that's, from my perspective, it's like I want to do everything to protect my daughter first and foremost, but it pains me to think how this will influence my relationship with my brother and possibly...
You can just tell him I'm getting real uneasy. She's 4 years old, and I just get real uneasy when she's isolated with anybody. And the other thing is something to be considered here is if there's ill intent with this. I mean, if in fact he's looking to, as you say, groom your 4-year old daughter. Then I'm not sure she would be the only one. So at what level are you going to intervene and say, I got to protect other kids if that's the case? And I think maybe your best bet is just to simply say, I'm real uneasy when she's alone with any male. Real uneasy. I'm your brother. Are you saying that I would do something like that? That's disgusting. I can't believe that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if he reacts that strongly, I might think, why are you reacting so strongly? If he's totally good with it, he'd say, yeah, I can understand that. Sure. That makes total sense. But we'll see how he reacts when you say it. All righty. Ticklish.
Quick question.
Go with your instincts.
Do we speak with my parents? Or siblings?
I wouldn't bring the siblings. Well, I don't know. If you got other little kids and your instincts are telling you something's not quite right here, then what level do you go to protect those other little kids?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The difficulty is, some people would say, absolutely not. That if you have the slightest inkling that something untoward is going on or is potentially in the future, then you absolutely have to do something about it. And I can see that side. On the other hand, I think if you really have no evidence, well, I shouldn't say have no evidence. On the other hand, if there's a part of you that says, you know what, I'm real uneasy with this. I don't like it. It bothers me a lot, and therefore I'm going to not only act to protect potentially my own daughter, but anybody else's daughter. Keeping in mind that if you do that, you may be writing your brother off.
Mm-hmm.
Tough one. I said, you know. And I'm sure that there are people that have very, very, very strong opinions about this one, and I'm going to get a lot of email on this one because, and especially since anybody has been victimized, I could certainly understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I had that in my own family. So, thank you for the call, Anonymous. This is Dr. Ray.
Thank you, Dr. Ray.
You're welcome.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
Dr. Rigorini, thanks for joining me here. My wife asked me to see if I could learn to cook a little bit. And she didn't say it was bad. She's too subtle for that. She said, Ray, could we pray after we eat? So I took her cue there. But Alice from Oregon says, Dr. Ray, you are a vicarious chef in our home. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Wait a minute.
I think
Do I add spice? Do I add spice to your meal?
No. You keep me in the kitchen long enough to do good work. I turn on your show when I go in the kitchen, and I'm done with my dishes, but your show's not over, so I stick around and cook good things.
Yeah, but if you stink as a cook, then the only thing I'm doing is letting you cook junkier stuff.
Nah.
Do any of the children comment, or they say, Mother, you know, I've noticed that as long as you listen to Dr. Ray, this chicken does taste better. But on Saturdays, when he's not there, Mom, you do regress culinarily.
It would be more like chicken on the days you're on and hot dogs on the days you're not. So, you know,
yeah. Well, some people have told me I'm enough of a hot dog for their lunch anyway.
There you go. I thought it might make you laugh.
Thank you, because I got some heavy ones sitting up there, so I thought I better go to Alice and get a little levity. Alice, thank you so much. Oh, by the way, I did cook this one meal. It was a week ago or something. And, I said, honey, can you take out the garbage? And she said, Ray, you cooked it. You take it out. So, you know, I just... tough feast. Thanks, Alice.
All right, bye-bye.
See you, honey. Bye. Ooh, there's some tough ones up there. All right, let's shift gears rather radically. Let's downshift to Elizabeth from St. Petersburg, Florida. She had heard me speaking about Jonathan, who didn't stay on the line. He was talking about if suffering is the road to heaven and grace is given to the suffering, what is there to look forward to on this earth? And that definitely resounded to Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
That's great. Resounded is a very good word. That's exactly what happened. I was frustrated. I'm a paraplegic in a wheelchair. It's got elevating legs, and my right foot got caught in the chair, and I was very frustrated, which I often am. And I've got the crucifix in the living room, and I'm listening to you, and I'm telling the picture, you don't like me. Why are you making me suffer like this? You don't like me. And then this fella's calling up, and you're telling me what he's wanting to talk to you about. And I'm thinking, oh, that's me. Because on the other hand, I pray a lot. I do the rosary every day. I do Divine Mercy every day. I listen to Mass every day. And I get so frustrated. And exactly what he was saying is exactly my point. What's the point? Why am I not appreciating being here? I just want to go home.
Well, I could understand that part of it. But you leave that call up to God, don't you? You say, if I had my preference, like St. Paul, I said, if I had my preference, I would like to go. But,
yes,
and that's, I think, where you're at. It's like, if I had my preference, I'd like to go. I'd like to be free of this wheelchair. But it's interesting. Elizabeth, you brought up something where you said, I do these devotions. I pray an awful lot. It sounds like you pray 10 times what I do. And still, nothing has changed. Well, at one level, you're right. Nothing has changed. You're still in that wheelchair. But how do you know what all that praying is doing good for you?
It's doing good for the other people that I pray for. I've got a long list.
There you go. So,
and I'm adding people to that list all the time.
Be careful that you don't say, when you said, what's the point? It sounded like you were saying, I'm still in this wheelchair. I'm still suffering. So what's the point of all these prayers? Well, you just said the point of your prayers was for other people. My wife has always said, I think we're going to be shocked if and when we get to heaven, how powerful prayers were, and we didn't see it. You can't know what strength your prayers are giving other people. You can't know what it's doing to draw them closer to our Lord. You can't know that. There's no way to measure that. Unless you know them up close and personal, then you see changes. But other than that, so when you get to heaven someday, hopefully, God will say, Elizabeth, you got to understand something. You were in that wheelchair for the tiniest sliver of your existence because you're with me now for all eternity. And what you did, you were pushed. You were pushed to do it because you wouldn't have done it if you wouldn't have been in that wheelchair. Now, God didn't put you in that wheelchair, but you pulled good out of it, Elizabeth. That's what you have to be careful.
I get so mad, and I say really mean things, and I have to stop that.
You get mad because you think this isn't fair, and on an earthly level, it's not. If you look at that, and I don't know what percentage of paraplegics there are, for example, in the U.S., but I know it's way, way under 1%. So, number-wise, it's extremely unfair, okay? No question. But you could also say, in a lot of respects, anything is unfair. Somebody who's blind, that's unfair. Or someone who was born with a serious birth defect, well, that's kind of unfair. someone who has had a wretched, wretched upbringing, and they die at age 26. So your point about I'm mad at God, you're mad because you look at being in a wheelchair and saying, why did he do this to me? Why is he allowing me to live like this? And I got a feeling that as you continue to pray, and I think this is what those prayers are doing, when you get to heaven, which I think you will, I mean, I can't presume on that, but God's going to say, now, Elizabeth, let me explain to you what I was doing. I think that's going to happen. Make your prayer, dear Lord, when I get mad and I get frustrated at you, calm me down. Help me see it with your eyes and not my own. Just keep making that prayer. He'll respect it. I'm glad you called. Elizabeth, I'm glad you called. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for August is Lourdes with the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. Go on pilgrimage with Father Joseph Mary Wolfe and Father John Paul Mary Zeller to the healing waters of Lourdes, where St. Bernadette first encountered Our Lady and where all are now called to conversion. Order your DVD set at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
A preformed apology here for those of you who are on the line and we don't get to you. You are first up if you call in any future show. We take your word for it. You've waited patiently. You're on the line at the end of the program. You deserve. It's the only way we can say thank you. All righty. Nikki from Columbus, Ohio, got into it. She got into it with her adult son. And he said, okay, Mom, get lost. Hi, Nikki.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
What was the argument about?
Because we, for 3 years, were partners in a property. I bought the property in May from him, and he was supposed to have 60 days to remove his items, get his stuff out, and he slowly did that, very, very slowly. And he came in and he was at the tail end and he couldn't move his stuff. And I've been waiting for 2 months. So the past 3 years with the property was very strenuous because he would come in, he would argue with me, he would be very rude to me, disrespectful. And all this came about when he met his current wife, and they got married.
She doesn't like you.
But in front of me, she loves me. But behind the scenes, it has caused nothing but trauma for me.
Are you married? Nikki, are you married?
Yes, but not to his father.
Okay, so the guy that you're married to just more or less keeps his hands off and just says, hey, this is between you and him.
Well, no, if he becomes disrespectful in front of him, then he'll take care of it. But, you know, it's...
Well, he's not going to take care... Nikki, he's not going to take care of it. He can't. The kid's an adult. What's he going to do?
Right. Well, I mean, he'll just say, hey...
He'll say something. Yeah, he'll say something. That's different. I know.
Yeah, he'll say something.
There's a big difference between saying something and taking care of it.
Yes.
So here's what seems to be. Here's what seems to be. You've had a long-standing disagreements with this kid who has been, well, as you describe it, irresponsible, uncooperative, disrespectful. And when you finally said, look, I got to have your stuff out of there. I want to rent the place out or I want to move, whatever you want to do with it. He gets mad. How dare you, Mom, tell me so I should cooperate. And my guess would be if you're right and you think his wife is saying, yeah, your mother's controlling, your mother's too opinionated, your mother doesn't appreciate whatever she's doing behind the scenes, excuse me, then you're right. So he's now said, leave me alone, don't call me. Is that what he's saying?
Yes, but I have a grandbaby coming November 2nd, and I really want to see that grandbaby.
Well, then, if that's the case, problem. And by the way, I've written a book on grandparenting, and I've dealt with this issue directly.
And
how many times?
Yesterday.
Thank you.
I ordered it yesterday.
And I talked directly about a daughter-in-law telling the mother-in-law, stay away from my kid because I don't like you. That's happening all over the place. So, given that, here's what I would suggest, Nikki. If your goal, your total goal is to see that little grandbaby, then you got to do what you got to do to apologize to your son, take the blame, don't try to tell him in any way he was wrong. Whatever you do with his stuff, say, would you like me to move it? You want me to get somebody to move it for you? How do you want me to handle this? In other words, Nikki, you want to see that little grandbaby, you don't want to risk it. Then you essentially put your hat in your hand and say, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, sorry for being so difficult, even though any objective observer would look and go, it's not Nikki, it's the kid. Well, you want to see that baby, right? That's your main intent. That's what you got to do. Can you do it?
I have one more caveat, if you got it in a second. He has had a history when he was 16 of molesting my niece, and I am so paranoid that he is going to molest his own children down the road. So to be able to see the grandchildren.
Well, then it even makes it more imperative that that you just stay in his good graces however you can. But I don't worry about that now.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that now because
it's hard to get along with him.
I know it, and then you can't argue with him. You can't fight with him. You can't dispute him. You can't. You've been trying to reason with him and argue with him and get him to see your side for years, and all it does is it just makes him mad. And unfortunately, we got an awful lot of young adults that way these days. Their attitude is, "Don't tell me, how dare you?" Yep. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, dear. Oh, I better go really, really quick. I got about a minute and a half. Ontario, Canada, Sirius Satellite. She's got some siblings going through a divorce. How are you?
Hi.
Thanks.
I'm all right.
I got to warn you, we only have about a minute and a half, so I know we're not going to get to too much, but is there anything real quickly we can put our heads together on?
Yeah. So, really, what can I expect, like, how she was married for 6 years. It was her high school sweetheart. Like, how long can I expect her to be grieving? It happened in June that they split. And then just some ideas on how I can best support her. We've had a strained relationship in the past, but both of us are really close now. So just how can I support her and what can I do to, what can I expect?
She feels that she was summarily dumped and she's still hurting by it. And does she want to tell you how awful he is?
No, she hasn't. She's only spoken respectfully of him, but yes, it was his call to end the marriage.
Okay. I think I would focus a lot on, and if you think you can do this honestly, I would focus a lot on the fact that she gave her very best to this marriage. Unfortunately, this guy didn't look at marriage like she does, and that she can't look back and say, where did I go wrong? How did I fail? What was wrong with me? Am I less of a wife? That's that kind of self-blame, I think, is where you may be able to most help her. Because so often when this happens, people are pushed out of a marriage by a spouse. They think, what could I have done differently? Thank you, Anonymous. Dr. Ray, thanks so much for joining me. I hope to see you tonight on the world over. Be nice to visit with you. Because if Ray's ratings drop, I'll never get back. Walk with God. Always.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.